ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my Father's house, and give me a true token. It is written, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. It is written, and it shall be, that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his own head. Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly. Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went, and they came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they are come to search out all the country. With harps and violins there stands a great throng, in the presence of Jesus, and they sing this new song. Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. All these once were sinners defiled in his sight, now arrayed in pure garments in praise they unite. Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. He maketh the rebel a priest and a king. He hath bought us and taught us this new song to sing. Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. Aloud in his praises our voices shall ring, so that others believing this new song shall sing. Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message entitled, The House on the Wall. This sermon, The House on the Wall, could be called The Scarlet Thread. The pagan cities in the land of Canaan were going to fall like a row of dominoes before Joshua and his Israelis. Joshua had been taught well by Moses as to the best strategy to employ. He sent spies on a fact-finding tour. You can be sure he would pick them carefully, because he had had experience before with the wrong kind of spies and had no intentions of having to wander around for another 40 years going nowhere. The spies crossed the Jordan and went straight to Jericho, walking right through the gate, and went to the house of Rahab the harlot. The reason they went to the house of Rahab the harlot was because they were religious and wanted to avert suspicion. If they had asked for a good place to stage a prayer meeting, that would have been a dead giveaway who they were. Somebody got suspicious anyway, and a posse was sent to see Rahab. She told them the two spies were long gone. They went that-a-way. She had hidden the spies on the roof of her house, the aforesaid house that was built on the wall. She informed the spies of belief in the ultimate victory of the Israelites and asked for safety for her father's house. Now she said, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. Verse 15 says, then she let them down through the window by a cord, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. She asked for a token, and the spies gave one. They said, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren in all thy father's household home unto thee." Ladies and gentlemen, where did Rahab get her faith? She got it from the Bible. Paul said in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Actually, she did not get her faith from reading the word of God, but by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. For years she had heard true to the book sermons. She said, "I know the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did these things remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Twice in that speech, Rahab made mention that they had heard. Faith comes by hearing. She heard and she believed what she had heard, and she heard and acted on what she believed. This explains why Joshua sent the spies in the first place. We all know how Jericho fell. So why did he send spies? Why send out two spies to check out the number of the enemy, or the battering rams it would take to bash in the gates when the walls were going to come tumbling down anyway? The reason Joshua sent the spies was because he did not know of God's strategy yet. He didn't know of God's plan yet to knock down the walls. So Joshua was working from the underside of heaven, and God from the upper side. God let Joshua send the spies, even though it was not necessary, because he had an overriding reason for sending the spies. God allowed the spies to go to Jericho to set up the salvation plan for Rahab. They thought they were going to get information for the war, but this was not a military operation at all. It was a spiritual operation, and this was the reason that Joshua sent the spies to Jericho to the woman who asked for the one true token, the scarlet thread, to hang in the window of the house upon the wall. And now notice the unusual location of the house of Rahab. It was in a dangerous place. Considering what would happen to the wall of Jericho, the most dangerous place to have a house would be on the wall. When the walls fell flat, evidently, the wall at the Rahab house remained intact. Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house and bring her out, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her." And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. The agreement that was made between the two spies and Rahab was sanctioned by the Lord himself. The house on the wall, with the true token, the scarlet thread hanging from the window, was the safest place of all. The scarlet thread, the one true token, is the biggest difference in the Church of Christ and any club, lodge, or political party. There is no substitution for the scarlet thread, the one true token. They said, "Bind this line, the scarlet thread, not a blue line or a green line or a purple line, this line, the scarlet thread." The conversion of Rahab was not temporary. Later on it is said, "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel unto that day, because she hid the messengers." When Joshua sent to spy out Jericho, Rahab was a faithful Israelite from then on. She is called the harlot in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. We all know that prostitution is not compatible with the Christian lifestyle. Somewhere, somehow, she ceased to be a harlot. The salvation of Rahab the harlot is a pre-endorsement of the words of Jesus to the unbelieving scribes and Pharisees when he told them, "The publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." This scarlet thread has been regarded ever since as a type of the blood of Christ. Clement of Rome, who died about 101 A.D., called it a prophecy of the blood of Christ. Rahab said, "Give me a true token." The one true token, the scarlet thread, is woven throughout the Word of God. God's plan of redemption in retrospect may be seen in the creation of Eve. God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman. When the second Adam, Jesus, fell asleep in his death on the cross, they came and opened his side with a spear, and blood and water ran out. This made possible the birth of the church, the bride of Christ, on the day of Pentecost. Bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. The one true token again is seen in the fall of Adam and Eve. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. This was not enough. Unto Adam and Eve, also to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Only by shedding of the blood of an animal sacrifice could they be properly clothed in the sight of God. The shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God gives us proper clothing in the sight of God. The fig leaves of good works is not enough to cover our sins. Jesus spoke of the wedding garment, and Paul tells us as many of us as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. The one true token again is noticed in the murder of Abel by his brother Cain. The first argument that took place on planet Earth was a religious argument, and the first human death was a man who died for his faith. God told Cain, "The voice of thy brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." What does the blood of Abel have to say? The blood of Abel preaches to us that it does make a difference what you believe. The blood of Abel preaches, "Vengeance belongs unto God, and he will repay." The blood of Abel preaches, "You cannot substitute something that God says for something else." The blood of Abel preaches that the righteous are hated without a cause. Cain attempted to worship God by offering a sacrifice of the fruit of the ground. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. Paul says, "By faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." How did Abel know God wanted a blood sacrifice? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Cain tried to bypass the blood sacrifice that God demanded by trying to offer the fruit of the ground instead. Bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. Again, the true token, the scarlet thread, is noted when Noah made an altar after the flood and sacrificed of every clean beast and every clean fowl unto the Lord in thanksgiving for his deliverance from the flood. Noah did not fall down and worship the ark as some would today. He worshiped God. The Lord, it says, smelled a sweet savor and declared, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake." In Ephesians 5:2, Paul uses the same term as Moses used when he speaks of the offering of Christ as a sacrifice to God. He says it was an odor of a sweet smell. The sacrifice of Noah is a type of a greater sacrifice at Calvary of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. Without doubt, the most dramatic example of the one true token was in the sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham. Paul tells us in Hebrews, by faith Abraham, being tried, offered up Isaac. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him as a sacrifice on the mountains that I will tell thee of. The first mention of love in the Old Testament was the love of Abraham for his son. The first mention of love in the New Testament was God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Abraham bound Isaac, Jesus was bound also. Isaac carried the wood for the burnt offering, Jesus went out bearing for himself the cross. Abraham laid Isaac on the wood, Jesus was laid on the wood and nailed down. Abraham took the knife to slay Isaac. The account in Hebrews tells us Abraham knew if he killed Isaac that God could raise him from the dead, from which he received him back again in a figure. A substitute was provided at the last moment for Isaac. There was and is no substitute for Jesus, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. Again, the one true token is seen in the institution of the Passover at the time of the slaying of the firstborn in the land of Egypt. A lamb without blemish of the first year was to be slain, and the blood applied to the two doorposts and the upper doorpost. The Lord said, I will pass throughout the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. At the return of the Lord Jesus from heaven in judgment, he will see the blood of the slain Lamb of God on the door of the Church of Christ, and he will pass over you. Bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. The one true token of the scarlet thread is amplified in the seventh chapter of Revelation in the vision of the redeemed John saw in heaven. John said in part here, I saw and behold a great multitude which no man could number out of every nation and of all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes and palms in their hands. And all the angels were standing round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four living creatures. And they fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God. And one of the elders said unto me, These that are arrayed in white robes, who are they? And whence came they? And I say unto him, My Lord, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they that have come out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Every single person in that vast assembly before the throne of God that no man could number was there because he was washed in the blood of the Lamb. A reminder of that one true token. Bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. Salvation by the blood of the Lamb is stressed in Hebrews when Paul says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. This reminds us of what the Lord said when he instituted the Lord's Supper. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. That statement of the Lord is the same as what Peter said in Acts 2:38, Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now read those verses again together. Hebrews 9:22, Without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Matthew 26:28, This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. There is nothing the devil hates any more than the blood of Christ. The Lord God promised the devil that the seed of the woman would bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It was on the cross that Jesus smashed the head of the serpent. And that is why the serpent hates the Lord's Supper and baptism so much. Both ordinances are involved in the remission of sins. The battle about the Lord's Supper is not merely over the following of a precedent of every Sunday observance set by the church at Troas when we are told, upon the first day of the week we were gathered together to break bread. We need to look beyond that and see that the battle is over the blood. By persuading people to put less and less emphasis on the Lord's Supper, that is the effort of Satan to make Christianity a bloodless, Christless, and powerless religion. By what logic do we gather together on Sunday and sing and preach and pray and leave off the Lord's Supper? If that part of worship becomes too commonplace, so does the rest of it. Then again, it is the same with baptism. It is not merely a battle over the method or purpose of baptism, as though those things don't make any difference. Look beyond and see that the battle is over the blood. The devil is too smart to tell you not to be baptized, so he tells you the method and purpose is not important. Paul reminds us, know ye not, that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? His death is where the Lord God, through Jesus Christ, we contact his blood. We were buried with him in baptism, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we might rise to walk in newness of life. At the moment of our burial in the watery grave, we stand beneath the cross and are covered with the blood of Christ. Our sins are remitted, and we arise to walk in a newness of life. All of the epistles were written either to churches or to individuals. There is a warning to the Christian in Hebrews 10. A man that set at naught Moses' law dieth without compassion upon the word of two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment shall he be judged worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace? For we know him that said, vengeance belongs unto me. I will recompense. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Will you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Will you over evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Sing, O sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, unto him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Bind this line of scarlet thread in the window. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.